You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Burning questions.
Insightful answers.
Listener's Choice.
With Clement Maniatela.
So our Listener's Choice feature is all about you sending us an email, well, sending me an email on cm@702.co.za, and then suggesting topics that maybe it's something you think we've not really spent a lot of time discussing, or it's something you want us to discuss that we've not touched on the show. It's just an opportunity for you to curate the content of the show with us, right? Because we plan Monday to Friday, right? And we decide what we're going to talk about, except on the open line. So this is an opportunity for you to say, okay, here's a subject I'm interested in and I'd like to know more about it. Can you bring in an expert who can enlighten us on it? So my email address is cm@702.co.za. That's the show email address that I have access to, that the producers have access to. So when you send What's the Tea, Listener's Choice, that's where we find it. And then we bring in the relevant experts to come and discuss the issue you want us to discuss. And today we are talking about provincial government. What is the role of provincial government? A listener has asked that we look at whether we still need provincial governments and how effective have they been really in their core mandate to play that critical and complementary role in eliminating poverty and reducing inequality. And of course, they've got more responsibilities than that. But as you have seen over the years, we have witnessed poor performance from some of the provinces, the slow economic growth, dysfunctional municipalities that are under these provinces. So do provincial governments still serve their purpose? And does a country like ours actually still need them? Or are they just a waste of time and human resources, adding to a bloated bureaucracy? Let's bring in Dr. Zamokuhle Mbandlwa, who is a political analyst at the Durban University of Technology. Dr. Mbandlwa, thank you so much for making time. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Thank you for inviting me, and also good morning to the listeners at home.
So when I was reading up, I was reminded on the role of provincial governments. I was reminded on what happened on the eve of the first democratic elections, because you had government taking a decision to reintegrate homelands and the four existing, four existing provinces, divided them into nine. There are those who argue that that was a compromise during CODESA with the National Party and the IFP, who wanted a federal state. Just help us understand historically what the reasoning was for us to end up having these nine provinces.
Thank you very much for that introduction. But I will agree and disagree with you. One, I would like to agree with you that the country was not ready to integrate the four provinces that we had. But at the same time, I think it was for a good cause, because the country was separated. It's like you had many countries within a country. So there was a need for the country to have nine provinces. But the justice was not properly done in terms of integrating the country. But because remember, in the past, before 1994, during the apartheid government, we had four provinces, as you have already mentioned. We have the Cape of Good Hope, Orange Free State, Transvaal, and Natal. And on top of that, we had four former independent homelands, which is the Transkei, Bophuthatswana, Venda, and Ciskei. So now when you have a country that is so divided in along those lines, where you have homelands, they have kings, they have people who are responsible for the governance of those areas, and on the other hand, you have four provinces. Therefore, you don't have one country united in terms of the public service delivery and the expectation of the people. So, and then we ended up having nine provinces after. But if you look at the discussions that have taken place after 1994, because remember, we did not have nine provinces immediately after election. We only had nine provinces after 1994, after 1996, shortly, I think 2 years after the elections. And during that time, I don't think the country was ready to have 9 provinces, because we were actually copying the system that is used by other countries like Canada, for example. And we at that time, I don't think the system was actually defining who we are as South Africans. And I think we and this one also, remember, it was also made legal in the constitution, because the provincial government is stipulated in the chapter 6 of the constitution. And remember, the constitution was approved in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately after that, it was then established. And during the establishment, I think there were lots of errors that were made in terms of the role that the provincial government will have in terms of providing public service delivery, in order for the province not to overlap the powers of the province of the national and the powers of the municipalities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what I've also observed, Clement, is that the manner in which the provincial government is formed, I don't think the system that you are using is doing justice to the people, because people do not decide who must become the premier. They don't decide who must become the member of the executive council, because we use the proportional representation. So when people vote for the national government, they're also given a ballot paper to vote for the provincial government, you know. So they don't have to decide who must become a premier, who must become the member of the executive council, who must do what in government, in the provincial government. So I think in that case, we were not ready to form a more democratic government at a provincial level. And if you look at the functions of the province itself, they focus on agriculture, they focus on casinos, cultural affairs, education at all levels, excluding the higher education level, environment, health services, human settlement, language policy, and many other things like the public transport. But I would want to zoom in the human settlement. You know, Clement, we have a problem of human settlement, and people are mainly thinking that it's a function of the municipality to provide proper and adequate houses for the people, or local houses. And the province, when people are protesting, mainly, I've never seen, Clement, a community that is protesting against the provincial government or a national government complaining against the
housing.
They mainly protest for the municipality. Where else? This is the function of the provincial government. They should address these concerns into the provincial government, because it's within their scope. There's little things that they do in terms of providing proper houses for the people across the country. I think in this area of performance, they are underperforming.
Okay. So what do we need to do then, Dr. Mbandla? What could be the option? There are others that have said, well, just abolish these provincial governments, because they're not really serving the purpose and the responsibility as stipulated in the constitution. There are too many failures. So how about you allocate even their budgets or resources to the municipalities? But even the municipalities themselves are in a state of paralysis. And if you want to have national government sort of as a single way of government, how much capacity is needed? And is that going to work, practically speaking?
The main problem now is we hardly see the work that is performed by the provinces. And I will really agree with people who say the local municipalities must be given more resources and more power to take decisions, because they are the closest government to the people, and the province is very far. But you remember, the provinces at the moment, they play a coordinating role they play a coordinating role between the local government and the national government. However, the resources that are placed in the provincial government are not easily seen doing what is supposed to be done in communities. And but you cannot say let's abolish the provincial government without providing a proper mechanism or a model that will be a bridge between the national government and the local government. Perhaps what could be the possible solution is to change the entire electoral system, because I think the system is the main problem here. Because even in the local government level, there are so many problems because people do not necessarily elect their preferred leaders. They are fed because of the political processes that have to take place. Because once you take this problem away of the coordinating structure, you still have another problem at a local government level. Because the services will not reach the people. So I think we need to find the mechanism. In fact, the main problem is the electoral system that you are using. That's the main problem. And you can look at what is happening in the country. You know, pre 1994, Clement, we did not have many political parties as the many that we have today. Simply because I don't think politicians think objectively about the future of the country. Most of them, they just want to have proximity to resources and into power. When they are, you know, the promises that they are making are completely different to what they do once they ascend into power. So that's the problem that you have, Clement. And the communities have a role to play. They need to make some suggestions in terms of what could be the way forward. What could be a solution?
Yeah. Isn't the problem, though, Dr. Mbandla, that maybe the system itself is not to blame, but it's the political parties that are to blame, because it's the political parties that deploy their comrades to be in these positions in government. So so you could argue the provinces have lost their mandates due to those appointments of government officials who actually do not even qualify for certain positions, and it's just cater deployment. So that political influence continues to use the system to milk these provincial governments to benefit certain individuals, particularly those who are politically connected and not necessarily focusing on the mandate of what they're supposed to do. So maybe the system itself, as it is set up, not a problem, but it's the people that are deployed there that are failing to carry out responsibilities to make these provincial governments more effective in being that buffer between the local government and the national government.
I fully agree with you, Clement. But you see, the main problem is politicians will always be politicians. You wash my hand, I wash your hand. So the people that are deployed in positions of authority, not because they qualify. If you look at the history of the ruling party, look at the former leaders. Most the people that were in leadership, they played a specific role in the society. Some of them were chiefs, some of them were doctors, some of them were pastors. So they could relate with what the community wanted at that particular time. But nowadays, people that are being deployed are deployed because they are friends with leadership, because they supported the leadership. So those people will always find themselves in senior offices in government, in director positions, chief director, in various positions of government, I must say. It's not easy for political parties to deploy people that are not part of that political party, because you can just think that the ruling party is doing this because it's in government. And you can look at what is happening in Eastern Cape, in Western Cape, I mean. In Western Cape, where the DA is in leadership, they are also doing the same thing. But we cannot say the same in terms of the people that are being deployed. But the people that are being deployed might qualify, but they also have strong views of DA. And I think maybe if the ruling party could also do the same, to say, before we look at your political convictions or your political preferences, let's look at the qualification first. Do you qualify? Do you have sufficient experience, sufficient knowledge, sufficient qualifications for you to occupy this particular position or not? Because that's the problem. Mm-hmm. But you see, Clement, another problem is, I think when I was blaming the system, it's because the system have double standards. The people that are in the political office bearers might not have qualification and experience, but the people that are in the administration have to have qualification and experience. And remember, people that are taking decisions are in the political offices.
Yeah.
And they decide for the administration.
What is the role of the National Council of Provinces? My understanding is it's constitutionally mandated to ensure that the provincial interests are considered in the national sphere of government. And if we are going to argue that the performance of provincial governments in the last 28 years have been questionable and we haven't gotten the best out of the system, I mean, my question is the NCOP actually picking this up, and what is it doing to ensure that the provinces are playing that effective role?
Yeah. You see, the NCOP have good intentions about the country and the governance in provinces. But the problem now is the majority rule. You know, you can have strong views about the public service delivery. You can have good intentions, good ideas. But because you are the minority, you don't have the support of many people, your views will not succeed. They will not see the light. So this is the main problem that we have, Clement. And I think the day we have a coalition government in the provincial government and in the national government,
mm-hmm.
I think that's the day we'll see a proper public service delivery, because people will not boast about the majority they have. People will be deliberating on specific ideas.
But it's still going to require the majority. Don't you think it's still going to require the majority of those political parties, Dr. Mbandla? I mean, yeah, sure, that's a system that I also agree would keep in check and in close focus these political party leaders. No one is arrogant enough to think, well, I've got the majority. But the problem is, I don't know if we're at a point where there's majority in our political system for parties to put their differences aside and actually say, we are in this coalition government and we're going to put the interests of the citizens first.
Yeah, I fully agree with you on that one, because if you look at what has transpired in the city of Tshwane and then what has transpired in Johannesburg,
Nelson Mandela Bay,
you can see there is a serious problem because they have different political ideologies and they want to implement those political ideologies in government. Where else the government and politics are two different things, because in government, people expect public service delivery and people must implement what is required by the people on the ground, and they need to safeguard the interests of the people and secure the public purse.
Yeah, just quickly then, Dr. Mbandla, what do you think can be done then? Do you think we need to abolish, do away with these provinces and maybe focus more on how we can make local government more effective and strengthen that? But if that's the case, how do we fix local government? Because it needs fixing too. I mean, you can abolish the provincial governments, but the reality is we still live within the same political system, political parties that are busy deploying the same people to even the local government, and they get there, they can't even read budgets. and read a financial statement, and yet someone is an MMC of economic development or whatever the case is. So how do we then strengthen local government if the provinces are failing us? And what kind of legislation do we need that will ensure local government is effective enough to be able to deal with the budgets that would be coming towards them, and it's got capable people that are carrying out their responsibilities?
Shortly, Clement, I just want to say where I'm seated, I think what we need to do, the mother of all problems that we have in the country, is the electoral system. And I think we need to benchmark on the systems that are used by other countries. And perhaps you can even combine different types of systems, and you can come up with one system that will best suit the interests of the people. Because abolishing the provincial government is not going to be a solution, because the electoral system still give power to the majority of people that are in one political party. And remember, people do not elect leaders; they vote for the political party. That's the problem that you have in the country. Even if and look, there is a political party process. If people don't like Clement, but because Clement is a member of the political party that they like, they will vote for the political party, and automatically Clement will be the president. You see, that's the problem that you have. And also it goes the same in municipalities, you know, where people vote for what councillors. They vote for a political party, regardless of who the political party have nominated and elected. But because they like that political party, they vote for it. Whether that particular candidate is able to do the work or not, nobody's business.
No. Then maybe we need to start fastening those electoral reforms, because it looks like they're going to be solving a lot of our challenges. Dr. Zamokutle Mbandla, I really appreciate your time this morning. Political analyst at the Durban University of Technology.